All right. So everything I just said to you is not on tape. What I just said, you'll have to just bury in your heart. But it's very, very strong. I argue with everyone that thinks the reason I'm a Christian is so I can be moral. That's as though Jesus were a means to an end. I want to be moral, and the best way to get there is be a Christian. I don't believe in that at all. I don't believe in that at all. I don't believe that morals is what we're all about. I believe that spiritual virtue is not flesh. Morals is totally 100% man-made works, flesh. So, I don't want to be moral. I've never been moral, and I'm never going to be moral. Right? I'm like two or three of you. Two or three of you in this room can identify with what I just said, that you cannot be moral. The Bible says, I don't want any of your good works. Right. I don't want any works from you. I want to do it all and give it to you as a free gift. And so, if you behold Jesus, chair four up here, if you just look at him, you get five and six for free. If you believe Jesus, you get, oh, where are those signs? Oh, you didn't put those up. As you know, seven signs, but there could be 12 or 15. But I just use these as a teaching technique. Not because it says everything, but for me it says everything. So I can teach any one of the numbers that I have and tell you the whole gospel. Because the whole gospel is chair four. Even though it's five and six, but those are free. So you get everything when you get Jesus. Nothing's left out. Jesus is all, him is all I want. Him. Well, that's easy because he wants me. He's first. We love because he first loved us. We love because he first loved us. So the whole secret to my marriage is I love Peggy. It's not, she doesn't have to do anything for that. She doesn't have to be nice. She doesn't have to be a good wife. She can be anything she wants to be. And I'll never leave her or forsake her, just like Jesus said to me. I say the same. You know, it can be in a car accident today. It doesn't matter. She can weigh 500 pounds. It doesn't matter. I don't care anything that she does or doesn't do. I love her just the way she is. Did you all see what I said? Amen. So you don't need a perfect wife. You don't need a perfect anything. You got Jesus.
Thank you, Lord.
So, Tommy, you're in love with Retrice, whether you know it or not. As Christ loved the church, so every man love his wife, period. Amen. As Christ loved the church, so every man love his wife. Every man. Every. That's not even Christians. Every man. You'd have to be Christian to do it, but every man. You'll be judged by that. And so, if we're the wife of Christ, and we are, if we're not only the betrothed, but we'll also be the wife someday, then you need to know how this thing works. So first of all, he forgives you. Second of all, he cleanses you. And third of all, he perfects you. So those are the only three things that he does. He starts out, chair four, in forgiving you. Then in chair five, you die. And then in chair six, you're resurrected. So you know him now by the power of his resurrection. So you have all the power you need to do everything you need to do, but it ain't you that doeth it. Whatever is done, Jesus did it all. He did four, he did five, he did six, he does everything. So, since I teach that, please do not share this with anyone else because they won't believe a word of it. But if you do believe it and you do share it, don't worry that they want it or don't want it. Just share it. Because that's what God said to do. And I'll tell you what, people are still saved by that word. But if you're trying to get something else, if you're trying to use Jesus for another purpose, you miss the whole point of God. The whole point of God sent his son Jesus to share the Father's love. So he came in the name of the Father. He didn't come in his own name. He did not come in his own name. He became son of man so that you could become sons of God. He became son of man so you can see him. He's the true man, true God, true man, true God, true man. So that you could then change the world. Only your goal is not to change the world, it's just to be you. Let Jesus change the world through you. Let Jesus do it. So don't improve the world. Don't be nice and kind and so all that kind of stuff. Because if you did it, it was sin. If God did it, it was salvation. If you did it, it was sin. So we live by every word that constantly is coming out of the mouth of God, and we are children of the word. That's how you got born again. Amen. Faith cometh by hearing. And so, have I said it clearly?
Yes.
I did. Don't seek it. Seek him. Everybody that I know as a Christian wants to be mature or whatever. You can't make yourself mature. You just are a baby, then you become a young man or a young woman, then you become a mature mother, father, and so on. It just happens. That's the way he created you to do all that. And so don't worry about you helping him. God, I'll help you out. I don't believe in helping out. I believe God does everything, and I believe he's the only actor in the universe. And when you go to Africa, you'll see all kinds of flowers, you'll see all kinds of, you know, animals and so on. God created all of those, and they have color. They're beautiful. But you didn't do that, he did that. Those are not man-made. That flower, God made that. That animal, God made that. And he made weird animals. Ever notice that about animals? They're weird. Some of them are beautiful in color. Others are dull, you know. But he made them, you know, with big necks and, you know, big hippopotamuses. And he made all those animals. And none of you were there when he made them. They preceded mankind. And Adam, when he came, he had to name all those animals. Giraffe, you know. He had to name every one of them. And he got tuckered out. He got tired because he was trying to find a wife. It's kind of like a jungle, and you're looking for one that you could get along with. He had the dog. He thought, you know, that'd be a good friend. But he tried to find a good wife. But a good wife, who can find? You'd be a good one. So a good wife, who can find? And Raul, you got a good one.
I do.
Yeah, perfect. Absolutely. She's perfect. Willis,
yes.
Got a good one. You got a good one, Sam. Praise God. And now, you'll learn that in this world, whatever you do doesn't count, but whatever God did counts. That's all. Everything that God does. So if he brings someone to you, they don't have to look perfect. Let them just be what they are. Love people exactly as they are. Now, I don't blame anyone for not wanting to preach what I preach or live what I talk about, but I'm okay. I'm not interested in success. I'm not trying to be successful. I just want to be faithful to Jesus. He was faithful to me, and I appreciate him. I thank him for everything because there's nothing. I didn't have anything to do with it. I didn't have anything to do with it. So I'm totally happy. Are you happy all the time?
Yeah, I'm happy every day.
Yahoo!
I mess up every day too.
I love it. Are you happy all the time?
Always.
Always, yeah. See, that's Christianity.
And I'm never lonely.
Never. That's powerful. That's powerful. That's powerful. Because the best is yet to come. You haven't even seen the best. You haven't even seen the best. And a lot of people are looking for something in this world, but you'll not find it. He already came, past tense, and he's here now in your heart, and you can't see him. Can't see him in the past, you can't see him in the present, but you will see him in the future. He'll come back as King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So, second chapter, John. This is powerful, powerful. And on the third day, everything in the Bible is third day. And on the third day, a marriage took place in Cana of Galilee. And the mother of Jesus was there. So, Jesus' mom was there, Mary. And so, on that third day, it was awesome. What happened? There's a wedding. Now, one of the most festive times is not funerals. It's not funerals. One of the most festive times is getting married. Is someday David will be married. Not yet, though. No, you have to make some money, first of all. You have to pay the dowry, you know. They used to pay it to the father or the bride, but they don't do it anymore like that. But that's the way it is in the Bible. So you had to buy your wife. And in Africa, if you had a wife that you really loved, you'd want to give her maybe 20, 25 cows, maybe 100. But some just give one. Well, that meant, you know, you didn't have enough money. That meant you couldn't afford that. So that's how you could tell. Now, this wife, did you get married to her? How many cows did you give? I guess a goat. Oh, a goat. Well, that's not like a cow. And so in Africa, the whole idea of wealth is not the land. It's the how many cows you can give. And so that's what people do. And when they get married in Uganda, that's what they give, those cows. And Joel, you know, who has a lot of daughters, he got the cows, but he always gave them back because the kids needed them more than he needed them, right? So, you know, that was, but he did that voluntarily. I mean, after it was given to him, and he enjoyed the cow for a few minutes and then gave it right back so that they could then start, you know, their marriage off, right? Because a lot of people, all the adults were killed because of Idi Amin in the 70s, then in the 80s, AIDS, and then in the 90s, and you know, ever since, Joseph Kony. All these tragedies happen to them today, but as Julia can tell you, they are vigorous today. The church is stronger than ever, ever, ever it was, and all witchcraft is gone. And they may well have the secret to ending tribalism throughout the whole world. Because witchcraft came from Uganda. It traveled down the Nile River, traveled into Europe, traveled into Asia. And all of that witchcraft is now gone. And I pronounced it gone the minute that I heard that the king's palace made of huts, big 30, 40 foot huts that go way up in the air. Were you there when I took anybody? Did you ever see those? No. But some people did. And I used to want to show where Nimrod was born. Nimrod, the mighty hunter. I used to show that he, in that same place, he had his harem and so on and so forth. But when they burned down these huts, I said to Joel, we have to go and see where the kings were born and the leopard and so on and so forth. Because he had a leopard. And all kings that are royal have to have a leopard, either a skin that fits over their uniform, whatever, or maybe a lion skin in some other parts. But it all started out as a leopard. So then he said, no, you can't do it because somebody burned them down. Whoa. I said, then, okay, they will build them back as a museum, but it'll never be the source of witchcraft again in the world. In other words, witchcraft is over. It's a long story, but anyway, I believe God speaks to me and I say what he says. So, now a woman was in the back of the church. This was several hundred people, maybe, I don't know, 300-400 people. Big church downtown Kampala. And she came forward and she pointed at me. I was sitting over on the her right. And she pointed to me and said, "This man told you the truth. This man of God told you the truth." That's what she was saying. So everybody got quiet. And so she got up and said, "I was the only person that was with the last three kings of this country, Uganda. I knew them. And all they did was witchcraft, night and day. I had to eat the food before they ate it. I had to clean the place and so on and so forth. So I was with the family." She's only one. She was always with that family forever. Last three kings. So she said, "All they did was what this man said to you. Total witchcraft. Now it's gone forever." Powerful.
Hallelujah.
So you don't have to worry about witchcraft wherever you go. It's not real anymore. It's just a museum piece. Not true. All right. So, third day, marriage take place in Canaan, and the mother of Jesus was there. And Jesus and his disciples were also invited to the marriage. That's because they lived in that area, that Canaan is not too far from Galilee. And the Lake Galilee. And the disciples were invited to the marriage. And being short of wine, the mother of Jesus said to him, "They have no wine." Now, how many know that at a wedding, people drink wine? You know, some kind of, you know, something that'll make you happy. And so they ran out of wine, and so the mother of Jesus came to him and said, because Jesus is the Son, "They need a miracle here. Could you produce one? could you make some wine?" So he went and he found six water jugs, big, huge jugs full of water. Why six? Why six? Numbers mean something in the Bible.
Mankind.
Hmm?
Man.
Okay, he's got it. That men were around for 6,000 years. Okay, so mankind, that's the end of man. Man is over. 6,000 years, Jesus will come back. We're in the 7,000th now. Sometime he'll come back, do away with man. Man will be done forever. And only Christians then will be heaven bound. So you don't get there because you tried to perfect yourself, you got there because it's a gift. So everything from God is a gift. He is the only giver in the world. The only one that ever gave you anything is God the Father. God, your Father in heaven, gave you everything. So we're rich. We're incredibly rich.
Amen.
If you don't know it, you're not free. But if you know it, that'll set you free. That everything is going our way. Everything is going our way. So, Dallas for sure should be thankful to God that God has given you kind of a confidence that everything that you undertake... Did I lose that? Just put that right in there. Okay. Praise God. Now I'm electronic. And I'm ready to go. Been charged up. My battery is up again. So, they have no wine. Jesus said to her, "What is that to me and to you?" What does that have to do with us? Woman, my hour has not yet come. I haven't started my ministry. I've just begun. His mother said to the servants, whatever he says to you, do it. And there were six stone water pots standing according to the purification of the Jews. In other words, they were lined up there, had nothing to do with the feast. Each containing two or three measures. There was a lot of water in each one. And Jesus said to them, fill the water pots with water. And they filled them to the top. And he said to them, now draw out and carry to the master of the feast. And they carried it. But when the master of the feast tasted the water that had become wine and did not know from where it was, had no idea where this came from. But the servants, drawing the water, knew, the master of the feast called the bridegroom and said to him, every man first serves on the good wine at the first. And then when people are drunk, then they get the worse wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. So he's serving when everyone is already, you know, kind of happy, kind of enjoying themselves, and now you give them vinegar because they don't, you know, they're not really ready for wine and good wine. But he saved this good wine till the last. What it was? It was just water that Jesus touched, that Jesus had them fill, and as they drew out the water, it became wine. That obviously is not the message today. The message today is that the best wine has been saved to the last. The best wine has been saved to the last. And when you get married, that wine will be served in heaven, not here. Served in heaven above. And when Jesus, at the Last Supper, took the wine, he said to them, I will never drink of the fruit of the vine until I drink it anew with you up in the air, in heaven. Now, the heaven is not atmosphere, stratosphere, and all those kind of spheres. The heaven is in the mid-heavens, not highest heaven, but just the mid-heavens. So we have a earth over here. We can see, you know, stuff in the sky and sun, moon, stars, and all that kind of stuff. That's what you can see. But there's other things beyond that that are all kind of the mid-heavens. And that was originally where man came from, and he was to inherit that location. But Satan inhabited it from Adam and Eve. I'm overloading you with knowledge, but when Adam and Eve sinned, then darkness came into their hearts and the light left. There was no more light in people. And so now every heart is full of sin. Everybody here has sinned. Everybody here has sinned. Everybody. There's no exception. And so since you've sinned, don't bawl yourself out, because God already has a solution for that. He'll come and die on your behalf so you don't have to die. And then now you'll never die. And then he also will not only forgive your sins, but he'll cleanse you from all unrighteousness. 5. And then he'll also perfect you. 6. And he does all three of those things. Forgiving. 4. Cleansing. 5. And then perfection. 6. Now, you can't understand it because it's spiritual. You can't understand that in your brain. But it's spiritual. In other words, he gave you new birth, not natural. You're no longer a natural person. And then when he does that, that's a foundation for the next 2, 5 and 6. So he then forgives all your sins, but he leaves them. But then in 6, he removes them. So the guilt is removed in 4, but the power is removed in 5. So the power of sin is 5. Why does he want to remove that? Because you don't have the power today to stop sinning. Whatever you're doing, you don't have the power to stop it. And you don't have the power today to do what was right. But when he perfects you, you will. 6. So you haven't been perfected yet, and all you have is a new heart in chair 4. So, but that new heart is enough. If you just keep looking at Jesus in 4, you'll get 5 and 6 without question. Now, that doesn't mean it's automatic. It just means he made a promise to Abraham that you would bless all the families of the earth. Abraham. And so you'll be part of that. Shem, Ham, Japheth. Those are the 3 families of the earth, and that's what he meant. All the families of the earth will be blessed by you. So those are the only 3 families that made it after the flood. After the flood. And since many of them have been confused to this day, because they think what God wants in religion is for you to behave. David, God does not want you to behave. And I think you've done a good job of not behaving. I mean, I think it's awesome. It's awesome. That's powerful. Well, don't worry, Willis, he didn't behave either. And Sam back there, he didn't behave. And you know, don't even need to talk about Alex. He didn't behave at all. And Raul and me. Okay, so since all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, don't worry. It's a gift. You can't achieve perfection. It's something you can't achieve. It's something that's just given to you. Why? Because God is love. God is good. God is kind. God is gracious. God is merciful. He didn't do that for himself. He did that for you. He did that for you because that's his nature. That's the way he is. But he wants you to go to heaven. Since he wants you to go to heaven, you didn't have anything to do with this. It's his idea. He made a promise to Abraham. Jesus fulfilled it by dying on the cross. You have chair 4. Then if you behold him in chair 4, if you behold him in chair 4, if you just look at him, not it, but him, you get 5 and 6 for just for not doing anything. Because what God said is, the good work I began in you, I will surely complete. It has nothing to do with you. It has to do with Jesus. You didn't save yourself. You didn't redeem yourself. You didn't do anything. Let Jesus do it all. Does that mean we can sin? No. But you will. You will whether you want to or not. Everybody here has sinned, fallen short of the glory of God, including Tommy Thomas. Tommy Thomas was a sinner. But now he's a saint. Whatever God says, that's the way it is. If he says you're a sinner, then you're a sinner. And if he says you're not a sinner anymore, you're a saint. And how does he do that? Well, it's simple. To him that worketh not, he never tried to be good. To him that worketh not, yet believeth that God can justify the ungodly. To him, to that one, God counts as righteous. So you're righteous because you did nothing. You're not righteous because you did something. God doesn't want you to keep a law. He wrote the law that he could keep on your behalf. He wrote the law that you could keep. You can't keep it. He had to do it for you. He had to do it for you. He had to do it in you. For you. He died for you. 5, he's now working that in you. 6, he's working that through you. When men see your good works, they'll glorify your Father in heaven. They won't glorify you. They'll glorify your Father in heaven. So since he did it all you can do is thank you. All you can say afterward is, I didn't do anything. I didn't even try. Or if I tried, I failed. And so on. So trying won't do it. It's in the Bible that it doesn't say try. It doesn't say do your best. It doesn't. There's nothing in the Bible that says that. It says be perfect. 6. But how can you perfect yourself? It's a gift. So this is what it says. Beholding him. So I'm going to be up here beholding him. Just Jesus. Because I don't want anything but Jesus. beholding him, he changes you from one degree of glory to another degree of glory. So in the end, you'll be a lover. In the end, you'll be a lover. How's that? Well, because I got five. I died to myself so that I didn't have to. I don't know if you can all see that. So since I died to myself, I don't have to do anything. I just look at Jesus, beholding him, we are changed. Beholding him, we are changed. Not by fasting, not by praying, not becoming a member of the church, not by trying hard to please God. Don't do any of that. Just be yourself, and then he will begin this work. That's the foundation. This is the house he's building, and this is what you do in that house. Love one another. Perfect. And so now, God has promised all of that to you as a free gift. He is the only giver in the universe because he's the only actor in the universe. So you cannot do anything about what Adam sinned. Adam and Eve sinned. Eve started it, but it doesn't matter. She started it, but she handed it to her husband. He just did it too. And so there's nothing you can do about it. We all have Adam's sin in us. How many have done one sin at least in your life? Just one. Just one. Maybe you were angry. Maybe you were frustrated. Maybe you were worried. You know, maybe you were fretful because of evildoers. You know, whatever you're angry at, it doesn't make any difference. That's just you. But God says, no, I want to marry all those people. Many as I can, I'm going to die for all of mankind. Buddhists, Hindus, witchcraft people, Satanists, he doesn't care. Anyone he created, he loves you. Anyone he created, he loves you. He's merciful to you. He will forgive you. So when Jesus died, you died. When Jesus was buried, you were buried. When Jesus rose from the dead, you rose from the dead. If you believe that, you're a believer. If you believe that Jesus doesn't want you to do a lick of work, he wants you just to simply believe he's good. And he counts that as righteous. If you can do that, that's all he's ever wanted, just to acknowledge, hey, I'm not good, but I think Jesus is, but I'm not like him. I'm not God. I'm just a person. How many know you're just a person? You are really, you know, wretched, miserable, poor, blind, naked. Nothing. You can't hide. You don't have any clothing. But now Jesus wants to restore all that for no reason at all. You can't do anything except, well, thank you. Because when he gives you all that, nobody even wants this. He just gives it to you because that's what you need. So he gives you all of that. Now that's the perfect person right there. New heart, new soul, new body, but you didn't do any of that. He did all of that. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. And then you get married to him, and then you get, your crown on your head, and you get to live with him forever and ever. How many here know that eternity is not what you're thinking about today? You're not thinking about eternity. You're thinking about, you know, the doorbell doesn't work. You're thinking about, I need gas in the car. You're thinking about, I need a job. I need, you know, a wife or husband. You know, what people are just thinking about things of this world. Don't ever stop doing like that. Just be yourself. He loves you as you are. That's a good father. That's a good father. And he'll chasten you, not to hurt you. He'll chasten you so that you wake up and realize, hey, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. According to Jesus, you need Jesus. Not according to me. I don't need Jesus. I didn't want Jesus. I just like being me. And I enjoyed doing what I wanted to do, when I wanted to do it, how I wanted to do it. I didn't enjoy Jesus telling me what to do. I don't want it. I don't want to have a God. But today, I'm in love with Jesus. And so a miracle happened, and so here I am. So it shouldn't have happened, but it did happen, and I'm in love with Jesus. How did that happen? I don't know. He just said it comes by hearing or something. So I heard it, and one day, I don't believe that. No. I don't want a Jesus in my life. I'd rather just sin, go to hell, whatever. I don't really care. Because I'm not scared of hell, and I'm not interested in going to heaven. Because I don't even want to be good. I just like doing what I do. But today, I'm totally in love with Jesus. How'd that happen? Jesus, I didn't do it. I didn't do it. But his love now causes me to love not only my wife, but my daughters and my son and now my grandchildren. And now, you know, I'm just having a ball. But I didn't have anything to do with any of it. I never tried to be a Christian. And I think Margaret didn't try to be a Christian. It just happened one day, and you can't explain it. I mean, you can say what happened, but you can't really explain it. How did you do it? I didn't. I really didn't. It just happened. I don't know how it happened. I mean, I didn't believe it was a lie. I just didn't touch my heart. But all of a sudden, he touches your heart, and you realize, huh, I'm in love with Jesus. Now, I believe that message should go throughout the whole world. And wherever I go, I share the message of my own testimony, but I share what the Bible says. And whether people like it or don't like it or whatever, I don't really care. I just deliver the mail. Just, here's your letter. I'm not going to read it. You can read it yourself. Your name is on it. So I don't sit there and say, hey, what'd she say? You know, I don't do that. I'm not interested whether somebody's a believer or a phony. I don't care if you're phony or a believer. Because sooner or later, this word has power in it. Sooner or later, you will then say, you know what? I am a Christian. I don't know how it happened, but however it happened, I'm happy now. And you'll be happy for the rest of your life.
Amen.
That's powerful. Happy, I mean, I'm always happy. I've never been unhappy about wicked people or about, you know, nice people. I don't believe in them. I don't care about anybody. I have no care. I have no love. I have no human love for anybody. So I am nothing. And I know I'm a nothing. But Jesus said he'd fill me up. So I'm full. I believe that. So I love Alex. I love you. I love you. I love you. And so on. What made me do that? I don't know. I don't really care. All I know is I do. So that love to me is by faith, by faith, by faith. I haven't seen it. I just have it by faith. But someday I will see it because we'll see him as he is. Doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he appeareth, we shall see him as he is, King of kings, Lord of lords. And every knee will bow. Every tongue will confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Everybody. Buddhist, Hindu, witchcraft people, Satanist, you know, demonic people, they will all say it. Jesus Christ is Lord. And everyone will know, whoa, I think I tried to make myself great, but what is life? This life is nothing without Jesus, but with Jesus, you get everything. Did you know that you're going to inherit this earth? Not this earth like it is. This earth without any wickedness. This earth would be a new heaven, new earth. That's powerful. So that's what Jesus is saying here. So they were at this wedding feast, and Jesus said, here's the wine, and the guy tasted it and said, nobody has ever served the best wine last. They always serve it first till people are drunk, and then they give them, you know, just whatever's left over. But you have. And he said to them, every man first sets on the good wine, and when they have drunk freely, then the worse wine. But you have kept the good wine until now. Verse 12. This beginning of the miracles that Jesus did in Canaan of Galilee. First miracle he ever did. First miracle he ever did. Now, the first thing in the Bible is marriage of Adam and Eve. The last thing in the Bible is Jesus comes back and is going to marry his people. So marriage is throughout the whole Bible. Being married is God's will for everybody. He wants you to experience all the problems that marriage has. Isn't that exciting? Because, you know, being single is smart because you avoid all that. But then you're lonely. So too bad for you. But if you have kids, it changes you. Kids will change you. And it makes life valuable. And it doesn't matter how it works out. It's just that God loves you. And he wants this thing to last until he comes back. And then he'll marry us and it'll be over for him. He'll be happy forever and we'll be happy forever. Now, so I'm glad I'm married to Peggy. And she's perfect. I don't want her to change. I just let her be the way she is. And I love her just the way she is. I don't want her to fix up. I don't want her to look nicer or better. I don't just leave her. I love you just the way you are. Now, when you love people like that, you're called a servant. And David, someday you're going to see someone and you're going to go, I want that person right there. Right? And then when you do that, you know, there's no way I can do it unless this is God's will. So God, make it your will. So this one looks good to me. So you don't have to be smart. You don't have to really know anything. You just have to feel something and say, I think I'll get married. And you don't have to be rich. You should be, but you don't have to be. You can just get married on the whim. And people marry for the most foolish illusions they have in their head that marriage is going to do something. Well, it doesn't. I found that out right away. As soon as I was married, I realized, wow, Peg is never going to obey me as head of the house. I mean, I realized that within 2 hours. When I say, you know, let's go and do this, she's supposed to follow me, you know, and she dididn't. And I realized, same way as when we were dating. She was always late and, you know, never ready on time and never really gaga about me and so on and so forth. But I'm going to go ahead and marry her anyway because I'm in love with her if she says yes, which she never did say yes, but anyway, it didn't matter. Went ahead and married her. And today, perfect wife.
Hallelujah.
How did I get that? The Bible. The Bible says, as Christ loved the church, every man loved his wife. So that's it. That's the end of it for me. And by the way, that's your death. I mean, there's no longer Jim in the world. No longer Jim in the world. I'm now Jesus in Jim, Jim in Jesus. That changed my whole nature. So now, since God loves me, that changed everything, Tommy. It changed everything. Just because someone I thought loved me, which I realized later that was not, you know, just, but so what? You know, I mean, I could have said, you know, that's it, it's over, but I wasn't Catholic. I mean, Catholics can get an annulment on one of those deals. But I just said, you know what? Peggy's the perfect one, and I'm happy, and she can't make me happy, but it doesn't matter. I don't need to be happy. I'll be happy in Jesus, but I wasn't a Christian at that time. But when I did become a Christian, I realized, that's it. So now I'm totally happy no matter what, whether I'm abased or whether I abound. Totally, totally, 100% happy. Now, since you and I are the same on that, you and I are the same, Sam's same, since that is, this thing, it might sell. You might be able to, you know, share it with somebody and maybe become a Christian. So since God wants that, let him do it. Let him do it. Last verse. So, after this, that was his first miracle. He went to Capernaum, which was his headquarters. Capernaum. And he and his mother and his brothers and his disciples, and he remained there not many days. Didn't stay very long. And the Passover of the Jews was near. And Jesus went up to Jerusalem to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. And he found those selling oxen and sheep and dove in the temple. And the money changers were there. How many know religion is big business? and sitting and making a whip out of ropes. He threw all of the all of those that were in the temple, the sheep, the oxen, money changers, pouring out the money, overturning the tables, and to the ones selling the doves, he said, "Take these things from here. Do not make my father's house a house of merchandise." And his disciples remembered that it was written, "The zeal of the Lord of hosts." The zeal of the Lord of hosts has consumed me. In other words, what he was doing was cleansing the temple. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost. You are the temple. You are the spiritual temple. Everybody here needs to be chastened by Jesus, cleansed of all the, you know, good works you've done and bad works, whatever. Just cleansed of all that. Don't worry about all that. He wants to clean you so that you become one of these perfect persons. How many know here that you cannot say, "I'll believe that"? You can't believe it. You just hear it and you either do or you don't. But someday you'll be perfect. You'll be perfect. Just by hearing my words, just the words that I'm saying, anybody here can be a perfect person. You didn't do it. You had nothing to do with it. It was just simply something that God did to make you what you're not. I used to be a sinner, now I'm a saint. I used to be a sinner, now I'm a saint. And I'll tell you what, it's good to be married to Jesus before you get married to your husband-to-be, right? So he's married to Jesus, and he said he's a better person having met you. And so that's good. But you really didn't do that. Jesus did that. Because he had a hunger in his own heart. And so that works out that way. And, you know, the older you grow, the more you begin to be like the person you're married to if you stay married. Right? So the older you grow, you begin to grow together and you realize, I'm not going to count his sin. I'm not going to count her sin. Wow. That's pretty awesome. Forget what they didn't do or did do. Forget all my illusions. Let's cast those away. So I'm about to marry my granddaughter. You won't see me next week. I'm going to... Is that next week?
No.
No, 2 weeks?
Yeah, 2 weeks.
Oh, so I'll be here next week?
Yes.
Oh, I didn't know that. Praise God. It's good to have a good wife. So, okay. Well, anyway, in 2 weeks, I'm going to marry my granddaughter.
Hallelujah. Praise God.
And when her idea, you know, so, you know, would you do it? Yeah, of course. You're my granddaughter. Imagine if I collected a big fund on all of that. I think of all the grandchildren I have. It'd be awesome. However, since I'm a free grandfather, I can't charge them anything. Because I'm kind of a built-in grandfather pastor person. And so I don't want anything for it. Nothing. But God is good. How many know that you don't need anything in this world except Jesus?
Amen.
You get him, you get everything.
Amen.
You get everything. So, hope you're blessed today. What he's doing is cleansing the temple because you're the temple.
Amen.
You are the spiritual temple. You're not a flesh temple. You're a spiritual temple. And he's not building a building. Buildings are, there is no such thing as a church, meaning a building. You're the building. You're the only thing he's building. And that's the way he's building you, right there. Foundation, building, purpose.
Wow.
So what is your purpose? Worship God, love your neighbor as yourself. How do you do that? By faith. Someday you'll see it. Then you'll know it.